Our scripture this morning is from Matthew's Gospel. It's chapter 4, the first 11 verses. It's very familiar scripture. As a matter of fact, the story is in all three of the synoptic Gospels. So Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After spending 40 days and nights without food, Jesus was hungry. Then the devil came to him and said, "If you are God's son, order these stones to turn into bread." But Jesus answered, "The scripture says, human beings cannot live on bread alone, but need every word that God speaks." Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem, the holy city, set him on the highest point of the temple, and said to him, "If you are God's son, throw yourself down, for the scripture says, God will give orders to his angels about you. They will hold you up with their hands so that not even your feet will be hurt on the stones." Jesus answered, "But the scripture also says, do not put the Lord God to the test." Then the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in all their greatness. "All this I will give you," the devil said, "if you kneel down and worship me." Then Jesus answered, "Go away, Satan. The scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left Jesus, and angels came and helped him. These are the words of God for you, the people of God. Praise be to God. Pray with me just for a moment, please. Heavenly Father, speak to us today. Speak to us the truth of Jesus and how he can walk with us and help us when temptation enters our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to find some really useful information in the scriptures, because it tells us that temptation falls upon everyone, and Jesus could care for it. And so I hope that this will cause you to listen now and then sometime this week to sit down with this passage once again and read it through slowly and carefully. You see, temptation can be a very troublesome thing. You remember when you were a child and there were a brand new batch of cookies that were just made, and they looked so good, and it was so long before supper. Now, you knew you were going to get into trouble if you took one of those cookies. If you were blessed to have a bigger family like I was, you always had somebody else to blame. But you knew you'd get in trouble if you took one. And folks, that's temptation. The temptations upon Jesus were greater than a plate of new baked cookies. And in a way, I'm a little bit surprised that Jesus is tempted at all, because after all, is he not God? How can you tempt God? God has everything, has created everything, needs nothing except a relationship with you. And yet, Jesus was tempted. Puzzling. Here's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But you see that we have to remember that Jesus is as much human as he is divine. We know he was in heaven. We know he was before the beginning. And he was in heaven, and then when God called on his life and said, I want you to go to earth and be with those people, he obeyed. When he came to earth, he humbled himself. We believe that some of the humanness about him restricted some of the things that he could do as God. It's part of the mystery of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus actually being a human being. But Jesus came and to God's glory, he wanted to be a human being on this earth. And I think there's some reasons why he did that. A couple of them at least. One of them is I think Jesus wanted the experience. You know, his father had asked him to, and he said, yeah, that's okay. I will go and I'll be human. And then that way, I'll know exactly what it's like to be human. And so to our great joy, we understand that when you and I go and talk to him, we just spent time in prayer. When we go and talk to him, he knows what it feels like when you have great joy because there's a celebration in your life. He knows in a human way also, besides being God, oh, the troubles that we have when there are challenges in our life and when there are sorrows, he knows. I think a second reason that he came to earth, and maybe this one ought to be first, is it's right out of scripture. He came to save the lost. And who are the lost? Well, that was you and me before we said yes to Jesus. There are a lot of people yet to come out of being lost and receiving Christ. John 3:17 says this, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So in answering God's instructions about coming to earth as a human being, Jesus opens himself up to temptation. And truth be known, the devil would like nothing better than to get Jesus off track, off his ministry. So here we are. Jesus has been baptized. Do you remember that part of the story? And then right after that, he's led into the desert. Some translations call it the wilderness, but it was a place of aloneness for him. And he's led off, and Jesus is fasting. The reason he's fasting is to prepare himself for his public ministry, because that's going to start right after this. And Satan figures, here's my chance. I can get him now. This is God in the flesh now, and he's vulnerable, and I can get him. And not only that, he hasn't eaten for 40 days. Now you need to understand that this was not checking on Jesus if he could resist temptation. This was showing the devil and you and me that, oh yes, he was ready, he was prepared, he was able, and then when the devil tried it, he lost. The good news is that the Holy Spirit is with Jesus. The Holy Spirit, when we read of Scripture and we look at Jesus' life, is intimately involved with guiding Jesus every step of the way in his earthly life. Jesus is in the desert for sure, yes. But he has the help of the Holy Spirit as he engages the enemy. And you know something? That same Holy Spirit that was such a help to Jesus, he's here and now today. And if we'll let him, he'll help us in the same way he helps Jesus. In temptation, my friends, by the way, temptation doesn't come from God. In temptation, the one who's behind all of that is the devil. And the devil is very sly, very sneaky, careful. He would like nothing better than to cause us to not believe in him. He would love to have us just think he's a mythical character, that who he is and what he does is all fictitious. He'd love us to think of the devil of Halloween and the horns and the pitchfork and the long tail. But he's just as real as you and me here today. You see, deception is the main game of the evil one. Clinton Arnold is a theology professor, and he wrote in a book, Three Crucial Questions About Spiritual Warfare. Buckle your seatbelts. This is a college professor talking here. The devil is an intelligent, powerful spirit being that is thoroughly evil and is directly involved in perpetrating evil in the lives of individuals as well as on a much larger scale. He is not an abstraction, either as a personification of the inner corrupt self or in the sense of symbolic representation of organized evil. Did you follow that? Because I got lost in it when I read it the first time. What the professor is really trying to say is that the devil is real. Just as Jesus is real. And make no mistake, Jesus wins every time. In this battle in the desert, three times Satan is going to approach Jesus from three kind of different directions to throw him off. The first one was dealing with this hunger, the physical needs of Jesus, and the devil used some very slippery words to try to get Jesus to do something that was contrary to God's will. He said, you know, you're hungry and you've got power, and just take the stones and turn them into bread. Now, there's nothing inherently sinful about Jesus turning stones into bread. But it was the Father's will for Jesus during this time to fast, to not be eating. So if Jesus would have given in to the temptation, then he would be slipping outside of God's will. And that's really what Jesus had to think about. What is my Father's will? What does he want me to do? And he decided, no, he wouldn't do that. His answer to the devil, Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message, he put it this way. Jesus said, it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth. There was a second temptation. It was a way of trying to get Jesus to test God, his Father. And again, with not the whole truth, but a little bit of it and a little bit of scripture and just some sneakiness. The devil says, go ahead. Go ahead, Jesus. We'll go to the highest building in town. I was trying to think in our area, what's the highest building and what would happen to you if you jumped off the top of it? The devil says, go, we'll take you to this highest building, go there and then jump off. Surely, as God's son, God will send angels to protect you, to rescue you. And Satan is trying in two different ways to have Jesus test his Father, God. You see, by intentionally putting Jesus in harm's way, jump off of the building and see what happens, then Jesus would be inappropriately testing God's love for him, trying to manipulate God to send this rescuing force of angels. But you know something? When we really have faith, true faith never makes demands of God. The second thing the devil was trying to do that with this is if Jesus were to jump off the highest place in town, which happened to be the temple. This week when you go and read about that, you'll find out. It's the temple. Can you imagine what the TV stations and the nightly news would do with that? Here's this man, Jesus. He jumped off the top of the temple, and all of a sudden, whoosh, there were all of these angels that caught him before he hit the ground. And can you then imagine what the TV stations and the Jerusalem newspaper would say about Jesus? And then people would start worshiping Jesus, but not for the right reason. They would worship him because he could get angels to come and rescue him. You see, it would take the focus off of what Jesus' plan really was. It would become so sensational that Jesus' real mission of being humble, and the sacrifice that he made for you and for me, you know, that never made the news in those days. It barely makes the news in our day. And so the temptation would have been great. And Jesus saw through all of that. And in the message again, Peterson says, Jesus countered with another citation from Deuteronomy. Don't you dare test the Lord your God. See, now we know it's Deuteronomy. Jesus is using the scriptures. Maybe. If we're tempted with something, maybe we should look in the scriptures too for how to withstand that. The final temptation of Jesus, the third one, is for Jesus to worship Satan. You see, the devil already knows the story. The devil already knew he was going to lose. The devil already knew that Jesus would die on the cross to save the people of the world. And the devil wouldn't even admit that he knew. And so he says to Jesus, you know, I got a better way than you of having to go through all the suffering and the dying on the cross. If you'll just bow down and worship me, if you'll just bend the knee to me, I'll tell you what, I'll give you everything. When I read that, the thought that goes through my head is, liar. Satan, you're a liar. You don't own any of this. It all belongs to God. And yet you tell Jesus, I'll give it all to you. Liar. And so Jesus replies to him. Again, he uses scripture, and Peterson puts it this way. Jesus' refusal was curt. Beat it, Satan. And then he used Deuteronomy again, and he quoted scripture, and he said, worship the Lord your God and only him. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness. And then that test was over. The temptations were over. One of the Gospels says that the devil left Jesus for a time. So you and I need to know, when we beat back temptation with God's help, that doesn't mean Satan isn't going to come after us again. But don't worry. If you beat him once, you can beat him again with God's help. But the angels came and they took care of Jesus' needs. There are four things that you and I can use when we're tempted. First of all, is we need to resist the devil. The devil knows the word no. You don't even have to shout it at him. The devil's hearing is perfectly good. If you see that it's temptation, just tell him no. The second thing is Jesus was working in and with the power of the Holy Spirit. He could not resist the devil in his human strength, and neither can you or me. But when we have God in us, the Holy Spirit, then we're never alone, are we? Instead of being one-on-one with the devil, when we have the Holy Spirit, it's always two against one. And so we just need to remember that the Holy Spirit is there, and we can tap into Him in that power. The third thing I want you to think about as useful is that Jesus used the guidance of the Word of God, the Scriptures. If temptation and giving into temptation is something that leads us outside of God's will, how powerful is it to know God's will? And we have this wonderful book written just for us called the Bible, so that we can know what God's will is. As a matter of fact, then when the devil tries something, we can look at him and say, liar. The fourth and the last thing I wanted to share with you is Jesus was determined to accomplish God's will in his life. When you and I set our sights on just like Jesus, doing what is God's will in our lives, then we'll understand God's purpose, and the evil one will have less places to be able to attack us. Listen to this, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And then 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. He'll provide a way out. He'll provide a way of you knowing that you shouldn't go there. I'm going to get in trouble here, but I'm going to date myself. Anybody remember Hee-Haw? Okay. Do you remember Doc Campbell? Doc Campbell was a medical physician, and he had wonderful wisdom. And a patient came into the doc's office one day and told the doc he had broken his arm in two places. And with great wisdom, the doc looked at him and he said, well, then don't go to those places. If you didn't get it out right, it'll come. It'll come. But you and me today, this is wonderful wisdom. Yeah, when we're tempted, listen to the doc. Listen to Doc Campbell. Stay out of those places. You know what they are. Oh, beloved of God, each of you has a call upon your life. The devil is going to try to get you off track. And temptation is one of the tricks that Satan uses. If he tried it on Jesus, he'll try it on you. I'm so grateful that Jesus shows us how to resist temptation. And you know what? Glory be, you and I have that same Holy Spirit to help us. The one that helped Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for equipping us to be able to stand up against the tricks of the evil one. We can do it the same way that Jesus did it. So would you keep that in our memory bank, the things that he used, so that when temptation arises in our lives, that we will know where to go and look for the help that we need to resist temptation. What an awesome God you are. Amen.